An issue today that can challenge all of us at different times, and that is a dose of feeling hopeless or depressed. I know that I've experienced that a few times in my life, and I had to have a message like this get me out of it. Story about a man who makes an appointment with a psychiatrist and tells him he's depressed. He continues to ramble on how harsh and cruel life is. Says he feels all alone and finds no joy in life. And he tells the doctor that he can't remember the last time he smiled, much less laughed. Well, the doctor says the treatment is really simple. The great clown Terrafini is in town tonight. Go and see him. That should pick you up. The man bursts into tears. He says, "Doctor, I am Terrafini." Some of you might be depressed this morning. I don't know. You're not laughing too hard. No. It's no fun feeling blue. It's no fun waking up and just thinking and feeling that there's a dark cloud over you and that you don't want to face the day. And there's varying degrees of just sensing despair and experiencing depression. It's no fun. The sad thing about this is that many people believe that this is a normal part of life. This is something that all of us have to face at one time or another, and you can't really do a whole lot about it. You just have to kind of work through it, maybe hope to get some special help with it. In 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul concludes this one section of thought with, there are three things that are abiding in the life of a Christian, for a Christian, and that is faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love, but the other two are right there with it. And today we're going to look at hope. It's something that should be part of your life. Hope is that ability to look into the future and say, it's bright. There's something to live for. I'm excited about this. God has given me a promise that I can continue to experience life in Him more and more each and every day. Today I want to look at that we're created to hope. Adam and Eve were created in the garden to look to God and to trust in Him, to have hope that the garden would be great the next day, and that experiencing love with Him is something that would not be taken away from them. They were created to hope. When we are recreated in Christ, when we're born again, this becomes part of our lives once again, faith, hope, and love. Hope is that ability looking into the future and saying, yes, God has it under control. I'm in Him. Where would you begin as a Christian, as a true Christian, if you are to live your life without despair, without depression, or having confidence to know what to do with it? I think if you start with an examination on your standing in Christ, you're at the right place to begin. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. That's a simple thing that we say here from time to time. When you prepare yourself for water baptism, you're examining yourself by writing out your testimony and saying, what is my relationship with the Lord? Do I have a relationship with the Lord? Test yourselves. Judge yourselves. Look at your heart. Look at your life. How has it changed? Have you become more and more like Christ? Are you able to say, this is what Christ has changed me into? I have been changed into a person who loves righteousness rather than loving the sin that I used to love. The lying, the greed, the adultery in my heart, the murder in my heart, disrespect of parents. That has changed. He's made me into a respectful young person. He's made me into a person who loves to give and to be generous. I'm a person who loves to tell the truth. You have had a radical change in your life. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? You should be different, unless indeed you've been disqualified, unless indeed you've been shown to be just a professor and not a possessor of life in Jesus Christ. Every Christian should have a desire. If he's truly alive in Christ, you examine yourself. The one thing you should find, one of the things that you should find in your life is, I have that desire to press in. That's why most of you are probably here at church today. You want to be encouraged. You want to grow in Christ. You want to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. You want to see the church go forward. You're excited about the work of Christ in your life. One of my professors in biblical counseling back in the early 80s made the following statement: in salvation, God is not interested only in saving us from the punishment of hell, neither is he interested only in getting us to heaven. Very important, but he's interested in more than that. It goes beyond that. He wants to change us from the inside out so that our thoughts, affections, desires, feelings, attitudes, and aspirations become more like Christ. We're becoming Christ-like more and more. Some people hear this and they say, that's true. I give thanks. That's what God is doing in my life. Others might be thinking right now, you know what? I don't know. That's quite a demand. I don't see that happening in my life on a regular basis. In fact, I kind of am struggling with becoming more like Christ. Should this statement be true for every Christian? It should be. And we're going to look at the scriptures that support that. Listen to Paul's admonition to young Timothy. Timothy, who is to take a lot of the responsibilities and is taking a lot of the responsibilities of the Apostle Paul in some of the churches. And he says to Timothy, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? I don't know. Is that how you encourage a young pastor? Things are getting bad, real evil people. But you must continue. He didn't say, you know what? You need to try to continue. You need to make the best of this. No, he said, you must continue. It's a confidence that Paul is exuding and is transferring that to Timothy. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. There's nothing that should rattle you in this wicked world, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. That's where you get your confidence. That's where you have your hope, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It is found nowhere else. That is why you need to be strong, because you're focused and you're living and you're deriving your life from Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. And he's obviously referring a lot to the Old Testament scriptures to Timothy. These are inspired of God. They are practical and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be somewhat complete. No, that the man of God may be complete. The woman of God may be complete. If you're serving him, then you have a word here that is saying, God has given you everything that you need to be complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. I like this. Being equipped for God's work is almost like a ship that is going out to sea. And they say to the sailors, okay, put the sails up, get the ship ready to go out of harbor. And the guy says, one of the sailors says, hey, listen, it's leaking. They put the sails up. Hey, the sails are ripped. The sailors are going to say, we're not going out on that sea. This ship is not seaworthy. it cannot handle the storms that are going to come, the challenges that are going to come. But if they put the sails up, they're all strong, and they even see some extras in case one of them get ripped, and they see the carpenter come on, and they see some extra supplies, building supplies come on, and the ship isn't leaking, they're saying, this ship is thoroughly equipped for this journey on the sea. And that's the word that Paul is using for us, that we are thoroughly equipped for what? Every good work. Are you doing good works? Hopefully, you are involved. If you're alive in Christ, you're doing good works. And we'll talk about that more in a moment. Paul is telling us the scriptures are profitable. They will equip you to be all that you need to be, that you can continue to go forward for Christ. Some would say that the scriptures really aren't adequate for depression. If you find yourself in a dark tunnel of hopelessness and despair, you know what? You might need some professional health. Well, I want to say this. I am thankful for psychologists. I'm thankful for psychiatrists, for counselors. God bless you. You're working very hard to help people deal with the issues of life. And people need to know how to cope if they don't have Christ. If you're truly alive in Christ, you can be made complete in Christ. I remember back to my graduate studies at Villanova University, and in one of my classes, I remember being taught that you need to be sensitive to the value system of the person you're counseling. You need to make sure that if they say, well, this is what I consider to be valuable in my life. I consider, having a same-sex relationship. That's valuable in my life. And I want to know how to cope with some of the problems that come along with that. Then we were told, you need to make sure that you work within the parameters of what they consider to be their value system. Well, how can you help someone in that kind of situation? You might be able to give them some temporary fixes, but ultimately, they're not geared for that. They're not made to experience that, and they're going to continually experience bouts of hopelessness and despair. Solomon said, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the way thereof is death. We can all say, well, I think this value is important. I think this is good for my life. I think this is something that I need to be focused in. Is it what God wants? Is it what the scriptures teach? If not, then you're setting yourself up for death. And that is why I grieve in my heart when I hear pastors say, you know what, I'm not cut out to be able to help people with their problems. Really? God's word has the answers. We are called to share these answers with all who will open their hearts to the Lord. Listen to Peter describe what's available to us as Christians. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us some things that pertain to life and godliness. Now you say, no. It's all things. He has given us all things that pertain to living a life that is fulfilled, a life that is confident, a life that is filled with hope and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly and great and precious promises. Wow. How can you be depressed as a Christian? Now, you might be a Christian this morning and depressed. You might be. You need this message. You need to tell yourself, you mean God has given me exceedingly great and precious promises? Would he break a promise to you? If they're so great and they're so precious and you have them, how can you be hopeless in the face of whatever you're dealing with in your life? That through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Through our lust. We desire what is wrong. When we desire what is wrong and we indulge in what is wrong, we experience the corruption that is part of this world, the decaying, the moral decay that is part of this world. And that is darkness. That is something that is going to overwhelm your soul and bring you into a place of great soul darkness. Isaiah warned the nation of Israel not to seek counsel of those who had rejected the word of God or who are not willing to be surrendered to the word of God. Isaiah chapter 8 there. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards and whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? That's a good question. Should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? There are people who pray to saints. We have a mediator. We have someone who is at the right hand of the Father, Jesus, the resurrected Christ. Why would I go to someone who never put themselves up as someone to be prayed to in this life, and then who are now dead in the grave? Their spirit's alive, but they're in the grave. Jesus rose from the dead. He is the great high priest. He is the one who makes intercession for us. No one else. And yet in our day and age, that is promoted in many circles. Many people even say, you know, I talked to my father who's gone before me and some others, and they listened to me and they helped me. And Jesus, and we are being told here, don't seek those people. Don't go to those. Seek your God. To the law and to the testimony is the answer. That's what he says. To the law, to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Jesus is our light. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And it goes down to first views in a few verses, and it says, in him was life, and in him is the light of the men of the world. He is our light, the Word of God. But everyone else that has rejected God's Word does not have light for you. They're going to be muttering solutions that have not been proven. It always amazes me that as I look at the history of psychology, every generation has new psychologists that say, we have a better theory. There's hundreds of theories of personality out there. And you have to choose one as a psychiatrist, psychologist. You have to choose a few, one major one, that's going to guide you in helping people get better in whatever they term as being better. Those are men's ways. Those are men's thoughts. God's ways are above our ways. When you go to the world's wisdom in trying to fix your spiritual and emotional life, you're going to be hit with so many different philosophies. You need to ask yourself, are they speaking from the Word of God? That's where light for my soul is. I'm in darkness. I need light. I don't need more darkness. I don't need more confusion. Jesus said at the end of his message on the Sermon on the Mount, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, I love this, and does them. Remember, you can hear, you can hear, you can hear, but do you do? Are you doing what Jesus taught? Ask yourself, examine yourself. Are you doing what Jesus has taught? I will liken them to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and on that house, and it did not fall. It was beating against that house, and it did not fall. You don't have to fall before the storms of life. For it was founded upon the rock. It was founded, as we see from 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, and that rock that we followed, That is Jesus. That rock that was with us, that was Jesus in the wilderness. He is our present rock. We look at this and we say, what are we founded on? What is it we're built on? If you listen to the word of God and act upon it, you will be established in a powerful way in your life. When you're battered by the storms of life, such as people lying to you, oh yeah, they're going to lie about you. When you have someone steal something that is very precious to you, maybe they steal your reputation by trashing you. Maybe they steal your inheritance, you know, something that your parents have given to you. Maybe one of your siblings got there first and took it. Uh-oh. I know some families who are still broken and still split up after decades because one of the siblings took something that wasn't theirs. A sickness that has hit you out of the blue. A family member that has hurt you deeply. A financial loss, a career confusion, a broken marriage, a broken relationship, a son or a daughter who has run away. You're alive in Christ, and yet you say, but Pastor, this is dark. This is a darkness of soul. I don't know how to deal with this. I have people who say to me, I don't know what I'm going to do. My husband has passed away. My wife has passed away. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do without them. And they're a Christian. They're a Christian. They're weeping and they're just crying out, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I feel like going up and giving them a spiritual slap in the face. Boom! Wake up! Do you have Jesus? It's almost as if you're saying, Jesus isn't enough. He can't help me. Now that my husband is gone, now that my wife is gone. See, some of you get offended by that, don't you? Is Jesus your all and all? You will not find yourself in a dark place if he is truly your all. There is no reason to give up and live a defeated life. A life of apathy or depression or hopelessness, despairing. When you are connected to God's word and you're doing God's word, you are going to find that your heart wells up with joy and hope. Part of it is because you're obeying the Lord and he's flooding your heart with grace, with the power to face life. Paul understood that staying hopeful and courageous, bold and having peace in the midst of life storms, you would have to act upon God's word. And he says this in 2 Corinthians 4. It is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. And what light is he talking about? Who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is talking about the word of God. He's talking about the truth that we receive when we say, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you as the one who has come as the Savior, Lord and Savior of this world. You are the Word. You were in the beginning. You're the light of my life. This is the Word of God that shines out of the darkness that is all around us. And as Jesus said in John chapter 3, you'll either run toward the light, you'll either go toward the light, or you will go away from the light because your deeds are evil and you don't want anything to do with the light. We have this treasure of the Word of God, the light that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. We have this in this treasure in earthen vessels. Feel your body. It's an earthen vessel. It's decaying. It's temporary. You're going to be given a glorified body. This one is going to have to be turned in. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Don't depend on your body. It's breaking down. It is the work of Jesus Christ within you. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And you go through 2 Corinthians, and you'll see four different places where Paul talks about the overwhelming pressure that has come into his life when he chose to be an apostle of God. When he said, yes, I'll respond to the call of being an apostle for you, Lord. And when he was with Ananias, God showed him how much he had to suffer for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He showed him right up front, Paul, if you surrender to me, if you choose to follow me, if you be my apostle, this is the suffering you're going to experience. He was beaten 5 times with rods. That is a brutal, brutal experience from what I hear. He was whipped. He was stoned almost to death. He had been in the ministry now for 20 years. And he had experienced all of these things. He had been shipwrecked 3 times. He had been so hungry, he thought he was going to starve to death. But not only that, the people within the church weren't impressed with him. He's writing 2 Corinthians back to them, and he's saying, you know what, I know I'm not an eloquent speaker. They were telling him, you're not like Apollos, you're not like others. Man, we have some great speakers. You're not good of speech. Paul said, yeah, I know that. Some of them were even challenging whether or not he was an apostle. Here he was doing miraculous deeds that no one else could do. Oh, we don't know if you're a real apostle. And why haven't you come back around? And we're going to look at that in just a minute. But he says, but we're not in despair. I'm not in despair. I don't go into the darkness of soul. Do not be deceived. Paul is talking in Galatians there. God is not mocked, for whatever you sow, you shall reap. Whatever it is that you're sowing into life, if you're sowing light, you're going to get light. If you're taking God's word and saying, I'm going to do good with God's word and bless my children, I'm going to bless my husband, I'm going to bless my wife, I'm going to bless my boss on the job, I'm going to be a good worker, I'm going to be a hard worker, I'm going to be an honest worker, I'm going to be someone who is diligent. You're sowing into your life the light of the truth of God's word. You're doing God's word. You are going to reap life. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Life, you are laying up treasures in heaven that you're going to enjoy forever and ever and ever. Why? Because that light that's coming out of you is saying, Jesus Christ owns me, and he can own you. And you will have real life, true life in all that you do. That's what you want to be shining out of you, the truth of life that is found in Jesus. And you share that from the Word of God. Let us not grow weary. Make a decision. I'm not going to grow weary in having the light of Jesus Christ shine out of my life. He has given me his truth. It's shining on my soul. I want to reflect that into the world all around me, this truth of his word. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, it would be kind of sadistic of him to say, if we do not lose heart, if he said, but you can, as a Christian, it's going to happen. Don't worry, it's just going to happen. It'd be sadistic for him. He is saying, if you make a decision not to lose heart, don't grow weary. Will it be challenging? Will there be hard times? Will you be confronted with things that overwhelm you? Yes, but don't give up with God's word, with his truth. Have you gone back to God's word? Have you applied it to your life? Why are you cast down in my soul? Bless the soul, the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You are talking to your soul. Don't let your soul say, oh, this is a terrible day. This is a bad day. Oh, so many things are against you. Oh, life is not going your way. Your soul is talking to you. Say to yourself, shut up. Shut up. Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Look to the Lord, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. I want to look into the truth of His face, into the light of the Word that He's giving me, that's coming out of Him. I want that. And I am going to hope in Him. No one else. You know, I look at this and I say, we need to have a model. And Paul has given us that model. I look at 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, and he is talking to them about the ministry that God has given to them, in spite of some of them saying that they don't see him as an apostle. He's saying, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy. We have had poured out upon our lives things we don't deserve. I don't deserve to receive all the work that God is doing through my life and to be laying up all this treasure in heaven through the evangelism that is taking place through my life. I don't deserve that. I was a persecutor of the church. And yet God convicted me. God reached down to where I was living and said, Paul, how long are you going to kick against me? How long are you going to fight against the prodding of my Holy Spirit in your life? What mercy. He didn't deserve that conviction. He didn't deserve God to be patient to him. But Paul understands the patience of God. Paul understands the truth and the goodness of God that kept on coming at him to save him. As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart because we see what Jesus has saved us out of. We see what he has saved us for. How could we lose heart when he did the most difficult thing in the world? He did a spiritual heart plant on us, transplant on us. He took the old heart out and gave us a new heart. How in the world can we lose heart? We can't do that. Well, but we have renounced. I like this. We have renounced the hidden things of shame. Have you renounced? Have you said, these things are worthless? I want no part of lying anymore. I want no part of sexual immorality anymore. I want no part of idolizing things in this world. I want no part in being filled with greed. I want to be generous. Have you renounced the hidden things of shame? When I counsel people who are tormented by demons, I ask them, have you ever played with a Ouija board? Have you ever played with tarot cards? Have you been involved in some way in the occult? And many times they'll say, oh yes, I did this, I did that. I said, you need to renounce it. And when they argue with me and they say, well, I don't see that it's too bad, my response to them is, do you like the darkness? That's why you're in the darkness. Because you've invited the prince of darkness into your life. You need to renounce it. You need to say, that's worthless. I want no part of it. Have you renounced things in your life that you know were not according to God's word? Or have you played the game of saying, well, I don't know if it's that bad. Maybe in the future I'll take a second look at it. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of something that it's wrong, renounce it and run from it. Go the opposite direction. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Well, just remember, renounce the hidden things of shame. Don't miss that. Walking in craftiness. I just read an article about one of the most popular women evangelists in America today. She was just married for her third time. She married for the third time, and her second husband tweeted out who her second husband was, she was a co-pastor with in a church. They started a church, and it's you know, and I just can't keep track of these things. She said, he said, oh, I hope you have a happy marriage. Oh, I hope everything works out okay. Nobody was saying or bringing up the issue, do you think this could be have something wrong with it, these serial marriages? Nobody was doing that. Everybody was just saying, oh, it's great that you have another chance. Oh, it's great you have another opportunity. Third marriage, you're an evangelist? And your husband, who's a pastor, presently a pastor of another church, tweets out and says, oh, I hope you find happiness in this? I mean, this is walking in craftiness. This is handling the word of God deceitfully. This is not being honest. I can't imagine anybody in that position as a pastor saying, yeah, this is great. This is wonderful. These are good things. But you know what? All of us can fall into this. We all can argue away sin in our lives. And you are being crafty. You're being deceitful. That's the word that was used when Satan went to Eve in the garden and said, did not God say? Oh, he was being crafty. He was just, you know, massaging the word of God a little bit. Oh, you don't have to, you can eat it. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience, I want to touch your conscience. I want you to be honest before God. I want God to touch my conscience. I want to be able to stop. If I'm in darkness of soul, and I've experienced it a couple of times, I had to go before God and say, God, what is it that I'm missing? I had to be willing to have him convict me in my conscience. Be honest about it. We want the truth of God undiluted. You don't want the word of God to be distorted and to be applied to your life so that you're comfortable in the present, in the here and now. You want it for eternity. And it's going to make you uncomfortable in the here and now until you humble yourself and renounce and repent and turn away from all of that. So, this is something that we don't want in any way to miss the application of God's word to our lives in a clear, clear way. Paul gave us some insight into what it would mean for us to fulfill preaching of the gospel in a clear way, to be able to use the law of God in a clear way so that people's conscience would be pricked. That's why I encourage all of you, use the law. Use the law to those people who are proud. Use the law to people who say they're good people. This past week, I spoke with a person, with a man, and, you know, I was having a conversation. He wanted some help with something, and I was talking with him, and I asked him if he was a good person, and immediately out of his mouth, yes, I'm a very good person. Many, many people perceive themselves as good people. We need to be able to bring that gospel, the light of the gospel, just as it was brought to our lives. Can you remember being convicted in your heart with the word of God, the law of God? If not, and you're hiding sin in your heart, you are depressed. You are not a happy camper. You know, when all the people leave and when all the excitement is gone and you are alone with yourself, what is your soul saying? Paul gave us some insight into this whole experience of ministry. He said, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, isn't that something? I came to preach Christ's gospel, not my gospel, not your gospel. You want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he preached and what he gave his disciples to preach when he was resurrected from the dead. And a door was opened to me by the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit. See, it's perfectly fine not having rest in your spirit. It's not fine being depressed and dark and hopeless. because I did not find Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Here he is. He doesn't have rest of soul. He's concerned about Titus. He wants to make sure that the ministry is being put together in a proper way. It's going forward in a proper way. There's lots of pressures. He's being challenged in everything that he's doing here for Christ, in the name of Christ. And yet he says, thanks be to God. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always, not sometimes, always. If the light of his word is burning in your heart and you're doing it, you're responding to it. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Every place you go is the fragrance of Christ being put out. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. He can give you life. He has the truth of life. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death. Oh boy. Those who have rejected Christ. Those who say, no, I don't want Christ. Not a person when you witness to them and you share with them, you say, I've never understood it that way. That's amazing. I'm not a good person. That's a person who is opening their heart possibly to the Lord. But the person who has said, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. Oh, you're one of those Jesus freaks. You know what? You are an aroma of death to them. Because what are you saying? There's appointed unto man once to die and then comes the judgment. They know what you're saying is true. They know there's a reality in the message that you're bringing. And who is sufficient for these things? We're not, as so many, peddling the word of God. For we are not as so many who are peddling the word of God. We're not sufficient to do it right. Christ needs to control our lives. There are people, though, who are peddling the word of God. They're selling the word of God in a way so that they can make friends, so that people will be happy with them, so that people will say, oh, I like the way you preach. You're not judgmental. You don't talk about all the do's and don'ts. Oh, really? Is that what you want? To make friends with people? To want to have your coworkers at the job be all happy about what you say about Jesus Christ? When you tell the truth about Jesus Christ, in all the love that you can muster up, you don't want to destroy them. You want them to come to Christ. You share with them the law so that they will be convicted, not to beat them down, but to give them hope that there's an answer in Jesus Christ. But when they reject that, boy, you're death. You're an aroma of death to them. And then there is others who peddle the word, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak. Is that how you speak to yourself? Do you speak honestly to yourself? All right, Ken. What word of God are you not being honest with, buddy? Come on, man. Sometimes I look at myself in the mirror. I talk with myself. I say, come on. Are you handling the word of God right? Be honest. Or are you trying to avoid certain passages of Scripture? Therefore, we do not lose heart. Paul says it. Therefore, this is at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When he's already made the argument, we do not lose heart, he does it a second time now in verse 16. He doesn't want the Corinthians to miss this about him. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Is that what is happening with you? day by day, you are being renewed and you're looking at the next day and saying, I have hope that God is going to strengthen me. God is going to renew me. God is going to empower me to face the challenges that I have for tomorrow. And some of you have some big challenges. Some of you have some heartaches. Some of you have some things that are just filled with pain right now in your life. Get in front of the mirror and say, soul, hope in God. I'm going to look into God's word. I'm going to take God's word and apply it to my life. I'm not going to listen to what you have to say to me. I'm going to listen to what God is saying to me through his word. And then I'm going to do it. Then I'm going to bless others with it. Then I'm going to lift him up and have others see Jesus Christ through my life. That is what I'm going to do. You are created for hope. You are created to live in triumph. You are created to live with an attitude of, I can go forward in Christ who strengthens me. When you find yourself depressed, stop everything. Stop everything. And get in front of the mirror of God's word. Take the mirror of God's word and say, Lord, what did I hear but not do? What was it I heard? What is it I've been hearing but not doing? Lord, I want to do good works for you based upon your word. I don't want to live for self. I want to live for you. And when I live for you, I know I'm humbling myself before you and you're going to pour your grace out on me. And your grace is going to empower me to solve life through your word. It doesn't get any better than that. Grab yourself by the neck and just say, you know what? You're not going to lie to yourself anymore. You're going to allow God's word to speak and you're going to respond by doing what it's called you to do. Father, I ask Jesus that your word would go into all of our hearts, that we would not live in darkness of soul, but in the light of your truth. I thank you for this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.